So the reading is Psalm 142 and Psalm 143. 142. And the skill of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who take notice of me. No refuge remains for me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Psalm 143. A Psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant.
Thanks, Rebecca, for reading. And good morning, all. My name is Nick Karanjizi, and I'm a member of the church here at Houston. It's great to be with you all today and to be continuing to look through this series of Psalms. Today, I'll be speaking on Psalm 142 and 143. To start with, I will outline three real-life scenarios that occurred to people I know. One is a friend of mine who was diagnosed with terminal cancer in his mid to late 30s. This cancer would eventually claim his life after years of battle. When he told me a week or so after he found out the diagnosis, his first reaction was that this was nothing compared to the suffering of Christ and that he trusted in the Lord. The second is a friend of mine who, shortly after getting engaged to be married, lost his job. During the process of being let go, he was so comforting to his boss that his boss was left completely perplexed as to why he was more concerned about his boss's and the company's welfare than his own. And the last is a friend of mine who is doing mission work in a foreign country and has had his visa held up for about 2.5 years, meaning him and his wife and their two young children cannot travel home to see their family. He suspects that officials are waiting for a bribe in order to process his visa, but he refuses to do this in order to not break the law and to continue to serve God. These are all real stories, and these are all real people who went through difficult periods in their life. The thing that each of these people have in common, though, is that they are believers in Christ. And so, in the time of their disaster, they sought refuge in the Lord. Today's Psalms are all about seeking refuge in the Lord. Where do you turn when disaster strikes, and how do you suffer? I mean, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but at some point, calamity will strike, whether to you or someone you love. Some of you may be even going through a hard time right now. Clearly David in these Psalms knew exactly where to turn to in his lowest moments. And so the question is whether you do. And this might be one of the most important questions for longevity in the Christian life. This brings us to our first point. Seek refuge in the Lord from all suffering and enemies. Rather helpfully, we are given the context at the beginning of Psalm 142 in the title. David was in the cave, we are told, and this is his prayer. David is fleeing Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time, and he's in a sorry state. Despite being the anointed king, David is not king yet. He is weak, on the run, and fearing for his life. Those of you who studied 1 Samuel this year in midweek will remember David fleeing away from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And that's where we pick up in 1 Samuel 22. The verse will be shown on the screens. David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter in soul gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And there were about 400 men. Quite simply, David is in a cave, and I don't know whether you've ever visited a cave, but it's not a place you'd want to have to reside. A few years ago, my brother took me on quite a long walk in the Peak District to visit Thor's cave. I think a picture of it will be shown up on the screens. This gives you a picture of where David was. I mean, nice for a 10 to 15 minute visit and 2 hour walk. But not exactly where you'd want to live or end up residing. David cries out to the Lord, you know, at the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 142. Cries, in fact, it repeated 2 more times in verse 5 and verse 6 of chapter 140, of Psalm 142, rather. David pleads for mercy from the Lord. Then in verse 2, we see him pour out his complaint and express his troubles. This is not like, you know, a coffee shop messing up your order. I mean, this is serious stuff, desperate times and expressing anguish. We're also told in verse 3 of Psalm 142 that both spiritually and physically, you know, David is at a loss. He says that his spirit faints within him, which is repeated again in Psalm 143 verse 4, and similar language is used again in verse 7. I would say that this is a foreshadow of Christ on the cross. You might remember John 19, verse 30, where it says that as Christ dies, that he gave up his spirit. This psalm points us to David as the suffering king at a low, just as Christ was to end up much more emphatically being on the cross. Aside from spiritual loss, there is a physical trap, you know, a physical danger to David, as we've seen. In verse 3, it also shows us in Psalm 142. Verse 4 of Psalm 142 also shows us that David is lonely. He is not comforted by anything or anyone around him. He is gripped by such a deep sense of hurt that he feels all alone. His plight is unique to him. Many of us will know what it feels like to be in the eye of a storm, to be in a problem so unique that nobody really understands. You feel completely alone. I remember the long COVID lockdowns in particular, as many of you might have done. I felt that acute sense of loneliness, that despite speaking to people on Zoom or Teams or whatever, you know, we still felt that strong sense of isolation, at being alone and not being able to see family or friends or have a change of environment. At the end of Psalm 143, verse 11, given his prayer, we see that David's very life is at stake. We also know that David is confronted by various enemies. We know David is seeking deliverance from enemies physically. We know about him being on the run from Saul. So it makes sense when he asks the Lord to deliver him from his enemies in verse 6 of Psalm 142 and again in verse 9 of Psalm 143. Interesting, though, in verse 3 of Psalm 143, David says, "The enemy has pursued my soul." It is not just any enemy, it is the enemy. I think it's fair to say that beyond just Saul, it is Satan, the ultimate enemy. David is talking about his life being crushed and being made to sit in the darkness. It's really a sad picture. I think there's a spiritual battle here as well as a physical fleeing from Saul, which may go some way to explaining why David is spiritually faint, as we saw before. He seems to be dealing with battles on both fronts. It also helps us understand why David asks in verse 2 of Psalm 143 that the Lord does not enter into judgment with him and acknowledges his lack of righteousness. I found it so interesting that in the midst of suffering, David would be concerned about his righteousness. Perhaps there is an element of the spiritual confrontation, as I say, driving this weakened state. And this would certainly fit in with David's suffering as a picture, at least to some extent, of Christ on the cross. So then where does David turn? All in all, we can see is a man at a very low point, and we understand given all he's confronted with. But then David turns and focuses his attention on the Lord. Verse 5 of Psalm 142 tells us explicitly where David seeks his refuge. Please look at verse 5 with me. "You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." God is David's refuge. David calls God to act. He calls him to restore him from his low state. As mentioned before, he asks the Lord to deliver him from his persecutors and to deliver him out of prison. I particularly enjoyed verse 6 of Psalm 143, where it says David stretches out his hands. He thirsts for the Lord like a parched land. This is where we should turn to when disaster strikes, to the Lord. It is the Lord who is the only one who is capable of delivering us in every circumstance. It's the Lord who truly understands our pain and suffering. And it's the Lord who is righteous and fair in all circumstances. And it is the Lord who will eventually have the victory. There's a popular American rapper called Tupac in the 90s when I was growing up. And he had a song called "Me Against the World." David knows this is wrong, though. It is not you against the world. He knows that even in the midst of great suffering, the Lord is there. He does not let us go. Not that Tupac is someone you should seek wisdom from, theological or otherwise. And this is probably the last time you hear him referenced at Houston. But this is so much of what our culture is about, isn't it? Right? Me against the world. Either resign in desperation or look to yourself for strength. Both these strategies are wrong. What we ought to do is throw ourselves at God's mercy. Just like David did, we need to cry out to the Lord when we're suffering and know that he hears us. There also seems to be sort of a trend of stoicism at times, basically people trying to reframe the problem and not be emotionally affected by it. This is sort of something that seems to be quite popular amongst the social media gurus of today. I mean, I think when you're in the midst of true suffering, it's quite frankly nonsense. As we've seen, David felt pain and suffered, but he correctly turns to the Lord. David did not try and get into a state of mind for his problems to go away. Sometimes we do suffer, and we do need to then turn to the Lord. This brings me to my second and final point, trusting humbly in God's ability to deliver you. You see, in fact, more than this, David trusts that the Lord will deliver him safely from his troubles. By the end of verse 7 in Psalm 142, he states that the righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. For David, there is an end to his suffering. He trusts that the Lord will work it out. Indeed, verse 8 of Psalm 143, David says that he trusts in the Lord. The language in verse 12 of Psalm 143 is confident. David knows that the Lord will cut off his enemies. He knows that the adversaries of his soul will be destroyed. He knows he has victory in the Lord. We need to trust that the Lord is the ultimate victor when faced with suffering. This is regardless of the enemy we face. We must know that if we trust in the Lord, then we can be assured of victory. Fortunately, we don't even have to blindly trust in the Lord. We can be reminded of the repeated refrain that we saw in Psalm 136, we saw a few weeks ago. For his steadfast love endures forever. David repeats it again in Psalm 143, verse 8, and again in verse 12. He knows that the steadfast love endures forever, and he has previously seen the deliverance of the Lord. This is probably why he remembers the days of old in verse 5 of Psalm 143 and meditates on what the Lord has done. He remembers how the Lord has previously delivered him, and so he trusts the Lord to deliver him again. Similarly, we know even more of the biblical story and how Christ ultimately delivered us on the cross. So we can trust Christ will deliver us again when he returns. We can see David's attitude. He comes with humility to the Lord. There is a sense of reverence in his pleading. So often we are entitled when it comes to God. We feel that we do not deserve suffering, and God is wrong to let suffering happen. Sometimes when things are not going well, to be honest, we are sometimes even angry with the Lord. That is not David's reaction. Instead, as we saw, David knows he is not a righteous man, and he fears God's judgment. He is seeking to do the Lord's will even in the midst of his suffering. This is still of paramount importance to him. He wants to be guided down the path that the Lord has set for him. He does not want his own path, but instead wants to take the path of the Lord. Even as he expresses his complaint and pain, David remains a humble servant of the Lord. As we speak to the Lord in times of trouble, we need to humbly remember who it is that we are speaking to. I think the outputs from these two psalms for our lives are clear then. Turn to the Lord in the face of suffering. Whatever the cause of your suffering, the Lord is the best direction to turn to. Like David did, it is okay to cry out to the Lord, to lay down before him and admit when we are out of our depth and we have nowhere to turn. When we turn to the Lord, we should seek refuge in him with trust and humility. We know due to his word and due to his previous promises delivered that we have reason to trust the Lord. Whilst we trust the Lord to act, though, we also have to acknowledge and accept that he may not act in the timing and manner that we always want him to act. We know that there will be an end to suffering for all Christians eventually when he does call us home. And we know that Christ has the victory, but that this does not manifest here and now immediately though. I gave you three examples of friends that went through suffering. And unfortunately, none of them were able to see an end to their particular suffering. You know, one friend died of cancer. Another did actually lose his job. And the last is still waiting for his visa. What is remarkable, though, is their attitude in the face of suffering. They loved and trusted the Lord, and this profoundly affected how they suffered. I do not want to make it out as if they did not suffer. They really did. But each of them know their God. This makes a profound difference to how they deal with their pain. They each know their promises of their God, and so they can trust in God in the face of insurmountable odds.
Let me say a final prayer as we close. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Amen.